Hello and welcome to the Being Apologetically You radio podcast. My name is Kelsey Davidson and I am your host. On this podcast, we talk about all things personal development, health and wellness, and of course, fitness, and how you can do all of those things, create a lifestyle that works for you and nobody else, because nobody else was made like you. So why would you do it the same way as somebody else? Well, unless it works. So thank you for joining us today and let's get started into the episode. Hello and welcome back to Being Apologetically You Radio. Y'all, I am so freaking stoked for y'all to hear this podcast. John and I were just completely vibing, and the biggest thing is we really shared some tools and tricks that you can use to really address your mindset issues and continue to grow in your mindset. I think this is something that a lot of people blow off because they don't think it's important and they don't see how working on your mindset can change your entire life. When I really started working on my mindset, it allowed me to see more opportunities. It allowed me to help address my mental health issues. It allowed me to be able to overcome negative challenges and see things that I was doing in a negative light that all I had to do was look at it in a positive light. I am not saying everything is rainbows and butterflies all the time, guys. But what I am saying is that you can have a way of finding the positive in every situation so that way you can live your happiest and best life. This is not a one-stop shop in and out done kind of thing. You have to keep working on it, but this is something that you will reap the reward for your entire life. So I would really love for you to take a moment and listen to this podcast with Mr. John Racine. Mr. John grew up in Rhode Island. He has worked for a multitude of different companies. He currently is an HR specialist, comes from the restaurant industry, worked for Disney. And his pure joy and skill set right now is to help people to be resilient in the face of obstacles, because golly gee, we are all in the middle of an obstacle right now with the pandemic, with a lot of us facing the thought that we have actually been racist and not known we've been racist. This is in June and May of 2020, by the way, when this is recorded. And this is just a great topic for you just to be open up and be honest with yourself so you can continue to do that work so that way you can be the best you. So enjoy this podcast with Mr. John Racine. Be sure to follow him on all the socials. I will have them linked down in the show notes for you. And let's get to the episode with Mr. John Racine. Hi, John. Welcome to the Be Unapologetically You podcast. I am so stoked to have you today.
Thanks, Kelsey. I'm so excited to be here today. It's an absolute honor and pleasure.
So John and I met on a Chris Harder webinar / a mutual acquaintance introduced us. And after John and I had a talk the other day, we realized we had a lot in common and a lot of stories to share. So I'm so stoked to have him here for you guys today.
And thanks so much. Yeah, it was amazing how aligned we were with so many different things. So this is going to be fun.
Definitely. Why don't you tell the audience a little bit about yourself and what you do?
Yeah. So my name is John Racine. I have done a lot of things in my past, which I'm sure we'll dig into a little bit. But right now, I help people to be resilient in the face of overwhelming obstacles, financial, emotional, personal, whatever it might be. So I help people to just overcome the challenges that they've got in their lives.
Can you tell us a little bit of how you got to this place of wanting to help people in those situations and a little bit more in depth of your story leading into that?
Yeah, and it's a relatively long story, so I'll try to give you the shorter version. All right, so when I was 10 years old, I grew up in New England in Rhode Island and came down to Florida for the very first time, got to go to Walt Disney World, and it was in the fall, early winter, and it was something I had never experienced before. Guess Disney was amazing, but the first thing that I had never experienced before was October, November, I'm wearing shorts, I'm playing in a swimming pool, I'm not bundled up, wearing gloves and mittens and boots and hats and all of that kind of stuff. And I said, hey, you know what, when I become an adult, I think I want to live in Florida. And then I went to Disney World for the first time and I had such an amazing time. I said, I want to go work at Walt Disney World. So as a kid, I was in the scouting program, found I had a really big talent for cooking, was pretty good at it. So I said, let me see, I want to go work at Disney. I like cooking. I wonder if I could go to a culinary school. And lo and behold, Johnson & Wales University was in my backyard, right there in Providence, Rhode Island, had an amazing culinary program in hospitality. So I went there, got my culinary and hospitality management degree. And guess what happened when I graduated? Disney hired me. I got the dream job. So I moved down to Orlando and started working at Disney. And it was way different than I had expected. I loved it, but it was so different than I had expected. I remember when I was in college, I had professors, and I worked for the university in our facilities, saying, you know, we work while other people play. And that didn't resonate with me in the beginning. Like, what does that mean? Oh, that means I'm working on Friday night, Saturday night, Sundays. I'm working all these strange hours and stuff. So I loved what I did. I still loved Disney, and decided I had to get out of the hospitality industry. And eventually I got into retail. And it was a quasi form of retail. It was rent to own. And I was a store manager. I was fast tracked to become a store manager. And about 9 months in, I got promoted to run a store from the training program. So I was about 18 months was the time frame under normal. I got there in about 9 months. My store opened up and became very successful, profitable quickly. So my store turned into a training location. And this is kind of where the majority of my professional career started. It did kind of start a little bit in college. I was a teaching assistant and a teaching fellow, but I started running this training location, and then everybody that got hired in the district would come and spend 2 weeks with me. I would do all the initial training, teaching them everything they needed to know. That eventually led to me leaving, getting back into hospitality in a human resources capacity, which is obviously helping people. And I moved out to California. I was an HR manager for a large resort in Southern California. My career progressed. I worked for multiple companies, became director of human resources, eventually a regional director of human resources. Eventually, I got back to Florida. And the whole time, I had always been involved with coaches. I was always looking to start a business, to get out of the 9-to-5 day job stuff that I absolutely hated, because I knew deep down I needed to be an entrepreneur. And it was a couple of years ago, I was with one of my coaches, and I was in one of her deeper level programs, and we were talking, and I had been through a lot at that point. So this is kind of a preview of some of the things I had been through. I was diagnosed as a diabetic at the age of 10 on, of all days, Halloween morning. Never got to go out trick-or-treating. Grew up without a father. You know, my parents divorced when I was very young. My mom had a live-in boyfriend who I absolutely hated. We did not get along. I was teased in school. I was a fat, overweight kid, not a lot of friends, very introverted, got out of college, went to work at Disney World, didn't know much about the world of finance and credit. So about a year or two after I worked at Disney World, I filed for my first bankruptcy. Yes, first bankruptcy. Was a mess financially, kept racking up debt. I kept going on this roller coaster back and forth, up and down, and eventually had to go through a second bankruptcy, and just was all over the place. And she asked me, John, after all of those things that you've been through, what is your message to people? And I thought about it for a second, and I said, well, the only thing you can control in life is how you react to life. And she said, that's it. That's your message. That's what you should be sharing. And it was like this light bulb went off. I was like, well, I've been helping people all my life, but I couldn't see the forest for the trees for myself. And I kind of pivoted and turned what I was doing, which was helping local businesses, marketing, getting customers and clients and so forth, and focused on helping people to be resilient, to overcome the challenges, and to realize and work through that you control your reality.
Wow, that is amazing. And I'm sitting over here, I'm like, I have so many questions and I don't know where to start at the same time. But I think the one thing I really want to touch on is that people have control over their lives and they have the ability to overcome some of these things. Can you talk about some tactics or some tools you recommend to a majority of your clients when they're facing something like that? So for example, like when you went through bankruptcy, and when you went through some of these job changes, what are some things you did for yourself to help you work through those situations?
I think deep down at a core level, I always knew that it was going to work out, though I never knew how. One of the techniques that I definitely recommend people do and use, and it was actually something I learned when I was learning a little bit of stage selling, how to do what's called anchoring. And it's a very simple exercise. What you do is you look back across your past from as early on as you can remember and find some level of success that you've had, whether it was you baked the first cake, you graduated high school, your first kiss, your first job, when you got that coveted baseball card, or whatever it might be. There was some level of success that you've had in your past. So I want you to close your eyes, think about that time. Imagine being there again. What are you seeing? What are you hearing? What are you smelling? What are you feeling? Get fully wrapped up in the emotions and all of the senses of that day and really be in it. And then think of a word and emotion. So for me, it's a fist pump. And the word is power. And what you do is while you're imagining that situation, you do that fist bump and say power, whatever the motion and word is, and you're anchoring that successful feeling from the past right now. So now when you go into that place of uncertainty or fear or anxiety or whatever it is that you're struggling with right now, you can anchor that past success into the present to get rid of the negative emotions and have the positive to go forward. And the way we used it when I was learning how to sell from stage was to anchor that success, step into a light. So you would actually imagine a light coming down in front of you. I make it a little bit easier. You can do it when you're sitting. But you would do that, do the motion, and then continue on, and you carry that with you. But you can do the same thing sitting in a chair while you're driving. I tend to get a lot of emotions when I'm driving, so you can do it anywhere.
Gotcha. So after they've put themselves in that state, then they could be able to have probably a clearer perspective about what to do next in their situation is what you're getting at.
Absolutely. What it really allows you to do is to kind of get clear, because 99% of the time in my experience, it's not as bad as your brain is making you think it is. It's almost never that bad. So when you can get into a positive state and really analyze and look at it, and I'll pick an example that's probably pretty relevant right now. We're still under stay-at-home orders in a lot of the country, a lot of the world right now. A lot of people are concerned about money and jobs. Okay. Is that bad? No. Yes. It's what you interpret it to be. This could be the greatest gift in your life, because you've now got the opportunity to focus on a passion, something that you can do to make money, to support yourself, and potentially create a business and a revenue stream that goes far beyond what you ever had in a job. And it could be anything. It could be knitting, crocheting, cooking. You can grab your cell phone and go onto YouTube and talk about what you're passionate about and build a following and have people reach out and connect with you and buy from you. So it could be the greatest gift that you ever get, or it could be the, oh my God, what am I going to do? I don't have any money. I can't pay the bills. But when you get really clear on that, you can actually look and see, all right, I don't have a source of income. Do I have a skill? Yeah. If you're alive and breathing, you've got a skill of some sort. Would somebody pay you for that skill? Absolutely. So it just really allows you to get clear and to really look and see that it's not as bad as you may think it is, or as your subconscious is telling you it is.
Gotcha. Something that I used to do, and I still do, I do suffer from depression and anxiety. So sometimes I actually have to map out the worst case scenario, as crazy as that sounds. Like, okay, if we get kicked out of our apartment, for example, what would my next steps be? And once I figure out like that plan, you, for me, like actually visually seeing it, it's like, oh, I'm okay. I'm not going to be underneath a bridge. I can sleep in my car. I can go stay with some friends if I need to. In the meantime, like it's, like you said, it's never as bad as you think it is. And then once you have like a plan of action in case that happens, there's almost like a peace with it, because you're like, oh, okay, that rabbit hole is actually only a foot deep, not 16 million feet deep.
Absolutely. And what you're doing there is tapping into the creative part of your brain. And once you're tapping into the creativity, and your brain, it will start focusing more of that creativity, and things that you had never considered before will come to you. Opportunities will present itself. I do believe in a universal energy of some sort, call it what you want, God or whatever it might be. I do believe that that is there. And when you open up to that creative process, things will come to you that you've never imagined before. I mean, for example, I wanted to go to culinary school and eventually open my own restaurant. I never imagined I would spend a career in human resources and now helping people. So the creativity piece of realizing, okay, I've got a bankruptcy coming. What am I going to do? And say, it's going to be okay. Then the opportunities start to open up. So doing the creative thing is so, so beneficial.
Thank you. And I know that's something that's helpful for other people. I want to stay on mindset because in our conversation we had before we started recording, you talked about a theme that you had all the way through your jobs. And I think this is something that a majority of people struggle with, is always having a bad boss. Big air quotes for those of you who can't see my hands over here. And I'd love for you to talk into that and talk about a theme you noticed and how you moved away from that mindset.
Yeah, absolutely. So in my younger career, when I first got out of college, I went to work at Disney and I absolutely loved the job. And I had a relatively good boss over there. And I ended up leaving truthfully because it was going to take me forever to get promoted and I didn't want to take that long. But the next place I went after that, it was actually a restaurant. I was in another restaurant for a period of time. And I remember very vividly, we used to have our weekly management meeting. So there was, I think, four or five of us. And our regional manager, our district manager, I don't remember his title, was due to come in and I had to do something. I don't remember what it was. General manager asked me if it was done. I said no. And he looked at me and said, when my boss comes in here and asks why it's not done, I'm going to point the finger at you. And that's going to be the reason why. And I got so overwhelmed with emotion. I'm like, what an ass. He's just going to call me out like that. I dropped my keys on the table and I walked out, quit, never went back. After that, for a very short period of time, I worked for a rent-to-own company, not a rent-to-own company, a car rental company. And it was a sales-based thing. And the boss was always hounding me about the collision damage waiver and all of that. Didn't work. I ended up quitting there. And then I went to work for a nonprofit. I actually went to work for the Boy Scouts for a while. And I felt I had a tyrant boss. This was a micromanaging guy. And to put it in perspective, I'll paint how bad it was, but then I'll get to the point. He was very big on the Franklin Covey day planner system. So he bought the Franklin Covey day planners for all of us. There were five of us that worked for him. And then every Monday, we would have to make copies of our calendar for the week, and we'd have to go put it on his desk, and then he would have it. But what would happen during the week? Get a call on your cell phone. Where are you? Well, you've got my calendar. Go look at it. You can see where I'm at. Then the kicker for me was at the end of the year, he took all 12 months of the day planner copies and put it back on our desk and said, okay, let's do a better job this year. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. I've got the originals right over there on my bookshelf. Why do I need to focus more on it? Why do I need these copies back? And I'm like, what an ass. I just couldn't do it. And eventually I left there. And it was around that time that I realized, I'm like, I've got this pattern that keeps appearing. I keep having these tyrant, evil, jackass bosses that are coming up in my life. And there's only one common denominator there. And the common denominator was me. So I had to really get introspective and look and say, maybe it's me. And ultimately it wasn't a maybe, it was a yes. It was me. My mindset wasn't right. My expectations weren't right. I wasn't showing up at even 50%, never mind 100% or 110%, which is what somebody might look for. So I recognized that pattern, but it took me probably 5 or 6 years of the tyrannical bosses for me to look back and say, it can't just be the places I'm going to work. It's got to be something else.
Can you talk about what you did to shift your expectations and mindset to a more positive? And because I understand the aspect of, understanding that you have that aha moment, okay, the common denominator is me, but what did you do next to move away from that mindset and set those expectations and have those conversations so you wouldn't be back in that same situation?
One of the things I started focusing on right then, and this is a number of years back, was the words that I was saying, because the words were becoming powerful and seeping into my subconscious. So I have a bad boss. So my subconscious believes that I had a bad boss. So I had to really be conscious of the things I was saying. And second thing, which was even more important, maybe not even more, but really, really important, was I had to realize that perception is reality. So if people perceive me to be X, then I'm X. If people perceive me to be Y, then I'm Y. So I had to make myself really focus on becoming an A player in whatever it was. So my career, I was in retail right after that. So I really focused on being successful as someone who was collecting on the monthly payments, someone who was selling on the sales floor, was taking care of the customers, so that the perception was right there. And it was a lot of languaging and focus on my actions more than the things I was saying. eventually, and I didn't get to this point for a number of years, eventually I got into meditation. I love and I'm a huge fan of the center point meditations. I learned about Bill Harris from the movie The Secret. If anybody's ever seen that, he was one of the presenters on The Secret, and he started this place that does meditation. They have these CDs. And I had tried other forms of meditation, sitting, being quiet, focusing on the breath and all of that. And for me, I really, really struggled with that because my brain goes at a mile a minute and I just can't seem to turn it off. But with the center point, it doesn't matter what your brain does because you've got left and right audio in your ears that is putting the alignment of the brain waves, the thought waves, whatever you want to call it, together to really help calm the brain. And when I really started honing in on that, that's when it got a whole lot better. So it was incremental until I started the meditation, the subconscious audios and things of that nature.
What would you say to somebody that is like, John, you are crazy woo-hoo. There's the word I'm looking for, woo-woo. What would you say to them about how this actually has an impact in your day-to-day life by doing these things and making these adjustments?
I will tell you that I myself was a what the f are you talking about with meditation and yoga, which I don't do. I don't think I'm flexible enough for that, and all of that type of stuff. And it was never for me. And I started circling in an internet marketing community and eventually got into learning how to present and sell on stage. And the guy that I was learning from, his name is Dave Van Hoos from Speaking Empire. He since sold the company, but back then he was involved with an ashram and very holistic, very spiritual. And I went to the ashram as a guest and I was kind of opened up to what was out there because I was brought up in a very strict Catholic community, family. And that was all I knew. And I didn't even know what a Protestant was until I think I was in high school. And to realize that there were these other things that were out there, it really became an exposure. And I started to see the benefits of it. For me now today, having gone through it, and it's a continual process, it's not something that you do when you're done or that type of thing, I find I'm calmer. I deal with stress so much better. I almost never get worked up or angry anymore where I used to. I used to get so upset at work or get PO'd because something didn't happen. I'm just a calmer, nicer, I think more pleasant to be around person. And I'm more productive. I'm seeing better results. I'm more successful. I'm happier. It's just the benefits are immeasurable.
So what would you suggest somebody to start with then, just to slowly insert themselves into that world to try that and to implement that in their lives?
You know, as hokey as it is, I think breathing and focusing on breathing is a really good start. I know I couldn't turn my brain off, but I could focus on breathing. So I think close your eyes. If you want to listen to some easy, calm music, ocean waves, or, you know, something like that, you can, you don't have to. And count your breaths. It's going to be hard. Count each inhale and exhale and try to do it in reps of 10 or 20. And just do that for a little bit. That's going to calm your mind and you'll feel a little bit more at peace and you'll start to feel the benefits of doing that. And it's real easy to do. You can do it almost anywhere. Obviously, you don't want to do that when you're driving, but you can do that, you know, sitting in a chair, standing up, but just focus on the breathing, the inhaling and exhaling, calm your mind. And then when you see that those results are starting to happen, that you are calmer, that you are becoming more productive, that you're becoming more focused, which is another benefit, then you can go and look at things like Center Point, which I think is amazing meditations. And there's a number of places out there that offer meditations and hypnosis, which I've tried, and subconscious audio, subliminal audios. You can do a Google search for them. I'm actually going to create some of my own eventually. But I think you can get into those and make it as easy as possible. What I have found with people is they want it quick, fast, easy, and in a hurry. So I think when you get an audio and you can pop it in your earbuds or your headphones or whatever it might be, even in your car, I think it becomes a no-brainer, and that's how I do it.
Definitely. And I know a lot of people always want quick, fast, but it does take time and effort and consistency no matter what you do to get any result that you want, for sure.
Absolutely. And that's, I'll use an example that probably resonates with you. I didn't gain all that weight in a month. It's going to take more than a month to lose it all.
Definitely. And while we're on the topic of fitness here, you can do yoga, by the way. Yoga is for everybody, no matter your flexibility or mobility or anything like that. I was trained to be able to teach it to senior citizens who can't even get out of a chair. So everybody can do yoga. So that's a mindset, buddy, that you got to work on.
you called me out. Kudos. All right. Yeah.
So I would love for you to talk about what learning to talk on stage has done for you. I don't know about you guys, but for me, John has like the best radio voice. So I hope you are soaking this all up, by the way, and go stalking him on his podcast when we're done, by the way. But I'd love for you to talk about how learning to speak and learning about sales and how that has impacted your life in a positive way and what that has done for you.
You know, it started out as a greedy thing. I went to an internet marketing conference, and there was one of the vendors who had a booth at the event, and the whole pitch was you can learn how to sell on stage and on webinars. And at that point, I didn't care about a stage. I wanted to learn how to sell on webinars. I was in the internet marketing niche. I was creating products on how to build membership sites and sell on Amazon and things like that. And I'm like, I want to be able to sell these things on a webinar, because when you sell on a webinar, you command a much higher price. So he was on one of the last days of the seminar, and he went up and did his presentation, and I was so moved by it that he was mid-presentation, hadn't presented the offer, hadn't talked about how much it was. I got up, walked to the back table, and said how much I want it now. And I bought the program. And that eventually led me to go to one of his live events, which is a brilliant strategy. If anybody is ever selling anything online, you sell them a product, offer them a free ticket to go to a live event later on. Maybe it's a live virtual event right now as we're quarantining, but eventually we'll be back to a more normal state and you go to the live event. So I went to the live event. And there he presented going deeper with them on the stage selling thing. And I'm like, well, that might be interesting. Let me go ahead and do that. So I signed up, got into that program, and learned how to create persuasive communication to be able to go sell on stage. And it was more than just sell on stage. It was actually to be able to present. And I had been a corporate trainer for a number of years at that point, heavily involved in human resources. So I was up in front of people every day. And it gave me some strategies and some techniques to be much more effective, to be able to communicate better. It actually eventually led to me being able to go speak on stage in Dubai and in Bahrain in the Middle East. And it led me to another mentor where I had a 10-day intensive on speaking, persuasion, presentations, and all of that. The biggest benefits I found is an amazing gain in confidence. I was an introvert. I didn't think I did very well in public settings. I was more comfortable one-on-one, very much an introvert, an I on the Myers-Briggs scales, if anybody's ever done that. And I have turned into an extroverted introvert where I can communicate, I have confidence. And I think it's just helped me in so many ways, because I grew up as that kid, that fat kid who didn't have a lot of friends. I had very low self-esteem, very low opinion of myself. I didn't feel that anybody would listen to me, like me, or pay attention to me. But I realized that beginning that process and going through it, that none of that was true. And the confidence is just amazing. And to put it all in perspective, I went to Dave Anhusa's deeper level program, which included a week-long intensive strictly on selling. And there was a mock sales contest at the end of the week, and I won the competition as voted by the participants. So it really speaks to the confidence boost I got out of it.
What would you say to somebody that's like, John, I'm not interested in being an entrepreneur, but I want to be able to communicate well. Is this a skill set that I should have? Or is this something that I can use? Can you talk into that?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's a misnomer that you don't want to sell or be an entrepreneur, because you are selling yourself every single day. I have coached people because of my HR background. I've coached people on getting jobs and things like that. When you go into an interview, you are selling and communicating. So I think there are so many benefits to being able to communicate effectively, persuasively. If you have kids, absolutely. If you have a spouse or a loved one, absolutely. Because I don't think most of your listeners are living in a deserted cave in the middle of Timbuktu, not communicating with anyone or anything. So yeah, these skills are absolutely valuable for anyone, especially if you have loved ones around you. If you don't want to be an entrepreneur, that's great. Being an entrepreneur is not for everybody. It's a tough road, but you're still going to have the skills and the experience to be able to communicate with coworkers, bosses, customers, whatever it may be in your life.
Definitely. And that is something that I had to overcome, especially as I got older. I was very young when I graduated college. And so I had that belief that, if you didn't sell yourself, all that jazz, but looking back now, it's like, it's because I had some practice at being able to sell myself that I was able to get into higher ed straight out of college in a higher level senior position with minimal experience. So it's like, craziness. But something else I wanted to mention, and I'd love for you to elaborate on this as well, is I've read the book Never Split the Difference by Chris Voss. The other book that's been really helpful for me is The Four Tendencies by Gretchen Rubin. And what both of those really speak into is being knowledgeable enough to know how to figure out what's important to the other person. Because it's very easily figure outable to know what you want most of the time. Quotes on that. But because you got to figure out what you want first. That's usually pretty critical. But to figure out what they want, but in addition to figure out how they want to receive it. I think we have this belief that everybody wants to receive it the same way that I want to be treated or things like that. And that doesn't work that way, folks. You got to figure out how people want to receive that information. Cause it just ain't going to fly if you give it to them the same way you want it, because they may not want it that way.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's been interesting. I didn't really realize that until I started learning how to be persuasive and presenting on stage. There's three basic ways people bring in communication and information, either through words spoken, so hearing, seeing it, experiencing it. Those are the three basic ways that people do it. And we were taught to do in your presentation all three so that you're covering all of those spectrums. So that kind of started my experience in that, but it actually got a little bit deeper for me when I became Myers-Briggs certified to do the Myers-Briggs, and I'm currently in DISC certification right now. So to understand people's personality styles and how they take in the information. So I'm an INTP on the Myers-Briggs, so introverted, very self-reflective. So when you give me information, I'm processing it in my brain. I may hear it, I may see it, I may feel it, but it's my brain, my subconscious that is working on it. So you've got to be able to tell, and you can hear some of this in word patterns. When someone says, I hear what you're saying. Oh, interesting. So that means they bring in info auditorily. Or I see what you're saying. Oh, I've got to be more visual. I feel what you're saying. Oh, okay, I've got to get more tactile with it. So word patterns will actually help with a lot of that.
And that's a skill set you can use the rest of your life too, if you pursue that for sure.
Absolutely.
That on there, that hand for sure. John, is there anything that's on your heart that you want to share with the audience or something that you want to talk about that we haven't touched on?
You know, we've talked about quite a bit, and I just think the biggest message that I have for everyone is that you control how you react to life. Is it negative? Maybe. Is it positive? Maybe. Is it either? No, it's whatever you make of it. And I think if more people really just stop and reflect it and say, how am I going to choose to react to whatever this is? And then you can move your way forward from there. Mindset is so, so powerful. So when you control the narrative, when you say, no, this is not bad, this is actually good, or I'm going to make this good, and you utilize those word patterns, I think it's going to help to overcome so much. You'll feel more at peace, more comfortable, more content. And I think you're just going to overall be a happier person. And that's been my experience, because that's exactly what I've done, what I share with people. And it's what we talk about on my podcast sometimes. You know, it's what I work with people on my website. You can get all the info. I'll give you the links. But that's my message and my mission.
And thank you for being unapologetic about that. There's such a need for that, that we've got to talk about it more, that there people have control over their lives.
Absolutely. You know, I think as a culture, most people are not comfortable talking about those deep wounds and things that are out there. I mean, I'm a guy that, you know, a type 1 diabetic with celiac disease who can't eat wheat and gluten, been overweight most of my life, had two bankruptcies, more than half a dozen failed businesses, had more jobs than I would ever care to count. At one point, I was moving to a new job every year or less. So, you know, I am in such a better place now because of the things that I've done. And everybody who's listening can do it. You just have to make the choice. And it kind of reminds me, I don't remember which Christmas special it was. I almost want to say it was Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, where the song is, you got to put one foot in front of the other. Put one foot in front of the other. So I think it's Rudolph, but I'm not 100%.
Along with Burl Ives, right?
Yes. So, or maybe it's Frosty. I don't remember. But anyway, you know, if that's really as easy as it is. You just got to put one foot in front of the other, whether it's philosophical or actually physical. I think getting up and moving and getting movement absolutely helps. You know, I get up in the morning and walk. I go outside. I give gratitude to the birds and the grass and the rain and the sun and the breeze and all of those things. So getting into the movement will actually help you a lot as well.
Awesome. Thank you. So please tell the listeners where they can find you, connect with you, all the things, please.
Absolutely. So I do have my podcast that you were a guest on, Total Freedom Podcast. You can see that at totalfreedompodcast.com. It's on Apple, Stitcher, a number of other places. My website, johnracine.com. And I do have a video that covers my Resolve problem resolution formula. It's a free video. So it's at johnracine.com/IG. I'm on social media at John Racine Jr. and most of them. So it's JR for Junior. So LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn. I believe it's all John Racine Jr.
And Instagram.
And Instagram, absolutely. Yeah, definitely. That one's definitely John Racine Jr. I post a couple times a day. I go live occasionally. I'm going to start doing more lives and more stories as this world continues to evolve. I think it's more important to get out there and do that too.
Definitely. Are you ready for the last and final question?
I am ready. Bring it on.
Okay. How would you tell the listener to be unapologetically themselves?
You know, I think a lot of people stay inside themselves because they fear other people's reactions. What are they going to think? What are they going to say? What are they going to believe? It took me a long time to get to the point that I don't give a flying F. So for you, I would say, be comfortable getting uncomfortable and be yourself. If you're an artist, create art. If you are a dancer, dance. If you don't know, what is it that you spend most of your time doing? Reading? What is it you watch on TV? Where do you travel? Find that thing and be unapologetic about that, because everybody has a passion with something. There's some strange passions out there that you never heard of. Just watch Jeopardy and you'll see them pop up as answers on the questions. They are out there, and be unapologetic, because no one's going to live your life for you, and you will not lead a fulfilled life unless you are authentically and unapologetically you.
Awesome. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast today. It has been such a joy.
It has been my pleasure. Thanks so much.
And if you guys enjoyed this podcast, please take a moment to take a screenshot of this episode and upload it to your social media and tag me and John and let us know what your biggest takeaway is today, okay? Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you, John, and we'll see you guys in the next episode.
Bye.
Dudes and dudettes, I really hope you enjoyed that episode. I love that you came and spent some time with us today. If you enjoyed the podcast, please take a moment to leave a review on iTunes. It really does help the podcast get found and provides us with feedback. You can also follow us on Instagram at @BeAnApologeticallyYouRadio and follow Kelsey at Kelsey Lane Fitness. While on Instagram, please take a screenshot of this episode and upload it to your stories and let us know what your biggest takeaway is, or you can also share it on Facebook. Thank you so much for taking time out of your day to listen to this podcast. And remember, don't forget to be unapologetically you. We'll catch you in the next episode. Bye.